this week's Parshas Shmos, and we are going to focus our shir on the last pasuk of our parsha in chapter 6, verse number 1. But before we do that, we have to give a quick synopsis what is happening in our parsha. In our parsha, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let the Jewish people go out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu delays his going and Hashem gets angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he and Aharon should go to Pharaoh. Moshe and Aharon go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh that Hashem asked us to take a 3-day holiday to serve him in the desert. Pharaoh denies the existence of Hashem. And Pharaoh says, why are you disturbing the people from its work? And therefore Pharaoh makes a commandment, which is written on chapter 5, verse number 6. Loi soy sifun, lo se steven loam libon alvenim. You should no longer give straw to the nation to manufacture the bricks, like you did yesterday. They should go themselves and gather straw, and the quantity of the bricks should be the same. So automatically, tichba davoido anoshim became harder, the work on the men, and they should not rely on people who speak lies. As part of the decree, it happened that the people had now to gather straw and the work was harder. The officers complained to Pharaoh, why has the work become harder? And Pharaoh says that you seem to be lazy, therefore you want to celebrate a 3-day holiday. So Pharaoh continued the decree that there shouldn't be straw and should still make the same quota of bricks. So officers of the Jewish people complained to Pharaoh that why are they being discriminated, that they are supposed to maintain the same quota of bricks when no straw has been given to them. Pharaoh says that you must be lazy, therefore you are asking for a 3-day holiday. So Pharaoh maintained the decree that there shouldn't be any straw given and the quota of bricks shouldn't be the same. It's written that they found Moshe Rabbeinu Nitzavim Likrosom standing up in front of them. And Rashi says that those officers that complained against Moshe Rabbeinu were the notorious evil people Dosam Vaviram, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, may Hashem look upon you and judge you, for you have made our scent abhorrent into the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to give them a sword in their hand to murder us, meaning to give them an excuse to murder us because we can't fill the quota of bricks. Therefore, they would kill our children and put them into the wall. And on that, on verse 22, it's written, Vayashav Moshe el Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu came back to Hashem, Vayomer, and said, Adonai Hashem, Lama Eroiso, why have you done evil? Lama Zeh, to this nation, Lama Zeh Shalachtoni, why have you sent me? Umeoz Bosi el Paro, and since I came to Paro, Iladaber Bishmecho, to speak in your name, Heira Lama Zeh, he has done evil to this nation, Vahatzel, Loitzaltes Amecho, and you have not saved your nation, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu complained to Hashem, why has Hashem done evil? Why did he send him? And now we are going to start the pasuk that's going to be the focus of our shiur in chapter 6, verse number 1. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ato Sira, now you will see, Asher es el Paroi, what I will do to Paroi, Kiviat Chazoka, with a strong hand, Yishalchem, he will send them out, Kiviat Chazoka, in a strong hand, Yegarshem me'artzoi, he will kick you out of his land. And then the next parsha starts, where Hashem continues giving the rebuke to Moshe Rabbeinu for saying what he said. We will start with the interpretation of the Ramban. The Ramban brings the Medrash Rabbe, where the Medrash Rabbe says that as soon as Pharaoh said that I'm going to make the work harder, Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Midian, and at that point Moshe Rabbeinu took his wife and children back to Midian, and Aharon stayed behind. And Moshe Rabbeinu remained in Midian 6 months. And then, according to the Medrash Rabbe, Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him to go back. And the way back, Moshe Rabbeinu finds the officers, and the officers complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Moshe Rabbeinu goes and complains to Hashem. And according to the Ramban, Hashem tells him, Atosire, now you'll see, which means the last previous 6 months you did not see. But now, from now on, soon you will see what I will do. Meaning, as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu complaining to Hashem, Hashem says, now you'll see what I will do to Paroi. The Shem Mishmul, based on this idea of the Ramban and based on the Midrash, brings an interesting idea why, in fact, it took 6 months after Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi and told them that Hashem said to let the people go, to Hashem to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to go back to Egypt, and now you will see the miracles that Hashem will make, that the redemption will start now. Why didn't Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu a month later or 2 months later to go back to Egypt and the redemption would start? Why specifically it was 6 months? And he explains, based on the Mishnah in Edyus, Perik Beis Mishnah Yud, where the Mishnah there says that Mishpat Amitzrim Yud Beis Chodesh, that Hashem gave judgment on the Egyptians for 12 months, meaning that all the plagues, all the 10 plagues, took 12 months to take effect. And since we know that the plagues ended on Nisan, because we were redeemed on Pesach on the 15th of Nisan, that means that 12 months before, it was also Nisan. And this is when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Ato Tire, now you'll see what I will do to Paroi. Now if you count 6 months before Nisan, then you'll get Tishre. That comes out that in Tishre was the first time that Hashem wanted to bring the redemption. That Hashem mentioned to Paroi that he's going to redeem the Jewish people. Then he explains that in the same way that we have a machloikles between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua when the world was created, that Rabbi Elezer holds that the world was created on the month of Tishre, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that the world was created in the month of Nisan, and in the same way that Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Omed Aleph 27a, Divrei HaMaschil Keman, says in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, that Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, that both opinions are correct, meaning the opinion of Rabbi Elezer that the world was created in Tishre and the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that the world was created in Nisan are both correct. And we ask a question, how is that possible that both opinions should be correct? And Tosfos explains, Ve'ikel le'meimer, we have to say, the Betishre Olo be'machshava li'borois, that Hashem had the intention to create the world in Tishre, v'lo nivra ad Nisan, and he did not create the world until Nisan, meaning that conceptually Hashem created the world already in Tishre, and the inner workings of the world, the pnimius, was already created on Tishre, but physically the world was not created until Nisan. And as the Medrash Rabba, Parsha Yud Beis Siman Tezvav explains, Ki b'tchila ala b'machshava livro ye'esoila b'midas adin, that in beginning Hashem wanted to create the world with the attribute of justice. As it says, Bereishis bara Elohim, that in the beginning Elohim created the world, meaning the attribute of justice, which is the name Elohim, created the world. But unfortunately Hashem saw She'en Olam Miskayim, that the world cannot sustain itself strictly with justice. Therefore, Shitav Boy Midas Rachmim, Hashem joined it with the attribute of mercy, meaning that with strict justice the world would not be able to sustain itself. Therefore, Hashem had to put the attribute of mercy in the world. And we know that the time of Tishre is the time of Din, and the time of Nisan, since this is the days that we got Geulas, it is a time of Rachamim, a time of mercy. Therefore, Sefer Shem Yishmul explains that since the Mishnah in Avos writes down that Bevasora Mamoris Nivra Oilam, that Hashem created the world with 10 utterances, meaning Hashem said 10 times there should be something, and that is how the world was created, as it says, Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, that Hashem created the world through His words. And He says that the 10 plagues that Hashem sent to Egypt was in order to reveal those 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with. That means that the story of Egypt mimics the story of creation. Therefore, He explains that Hashem had to go on Tishrei and send Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Paroi to let the Jewish people go, because in the same way that Hashem had the thought to create the world on Tishrei, so too he had to put in the thought of redeeming the Jewish people from Egypt on Tishrei. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paroi and he mentions the idea that Hashem wants to let the Jewish people go in order to create already the pnimiyos, the inner working of the redemption. And in the same way, as we mentioned, that in Tishrei is a time of din, a time of justice, because in Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, since by the attribute of justice, the Jewish people were not meritorious to go out, the Jewish people were sinners, therefore the decree on the Jewish people on Tishrei became harsher, and Paroi tells that he doesn't want the people to go gather straw, and he wants the work to become harsher. And since in actuality the world was created in Nisan, and Nisan is a time of mercy, therefore that decree that Paroi made only lasted until Nisan, where it came the month of Nisan. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go back to Egypt and tell Paroi to redeem the Jewish people. And then Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Atosira, now you'll see what I will do to Paroi. Because now the actual physical redemption is going to start. The plagues are going to start. The work on the Jewish people is going to become lighter. Therefore, in Nisan, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Atosira, now you will see. Meaning, until now, you couldn't see because it was a hidden geula, it was a hidden redemption. But now, since the world was actually physically created on Nisan, now you'll see what I will do to Paroi, and you'll have a physical redemption. Rashi interprets the words Atosira, now you'll see, as a rebuke to Moshe Rabbeinu and a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu for questioning Hashem's attributes. Meaning that Hashem became angry at Moshe Rabbeinu for him questioning the way Hashem behaved, the way Hashem acted in Egypt. And Hashem said that, Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't act like Avraham Avinu, that when I told Avraham Avinu, ki beYitzchak ikara lechazara, that in Yitzchak your seed should be called, meaning that the seed of Avraham should follow from Yitzchak. And then Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to bring Yitzchak up for altar. And even though Hashem never tells Avraham Avinu to kill Yitzchak, but Avraham Avinu thought that he has to kill Yitzchak, and yet he didn't question Hashem's word that Hashem previously has said that in Yitzchak is going to continue his seed. Hashem was angry at Moshe Rabbeinu that you dare to question my practices. Therefore, says Rashi, that Hashem punished Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem said, Atosira, now you will see, meaning only now you will see what I will do to Paroi, but you will not see what I will do to the kings of the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael. According to this, the word Atosira, it doesn't mean now that will start happening the redemption. It means only now you will see what I will do to Paroi. You will only merit to see what I'll do to Paroi, but you will not merit to come into Eretz Yisrael and see what I will do to the kings that are in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi brings this idea from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph 111a. The question Mefarshim ask is why, in fact, is the punishment of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he questions Hashem's practices, that he should not go into Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to answer this question based on the Ravid. The Ravid explains that even though in the covenant between the powers, Bereshis chapter 15, verse number 13, where Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Yodoya Teide, you should surely know, Ki geria zarachu be'eretz lo ilahem, that strangers will be your children in a land that's not theirs, Vavodum, they'll be enslaved, Ve'inu oisom, Abba Meyushana, and they'll be afflicted for 400 years. And in actuality, we are only in Egypt for 210 years, not 400 years. And the Ravad explains that the Koishi Ashibut, the harshness of the work completed to 400 years, meaning that since we worked so hard the harshness of the work, the extra work that we did, completed the time to 400 years. But nonetheless, from this rabbit, we see that the harshness of the work could complete certain amount of time. And there are certain mepharshim that explain that since we only worked in Egypt for 210 years, and Hashem had to redeem us because we fell to such a level of impurity, therefore Hashem had no choice, he had to redeem us, but nonetheless, we have other exiles to make up for the time that we did not serve as slaves in Egypt, meaning the other exiles that we have throughout generations complete the time of exile that's supposed to be in Egypt. And based on the Gemara in Soita Daf Tes Omed Alev, where the Gemara there says that Moshe and David, Moshe Rabbeinu and David, that our enemies did not rule over their handiwork, meaning whatever Moshe Rabbeinu built, the Mishkan for example, it was not taken into captivity, it was retired. And what David HaMelech built, that he built the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, those were not taken into captivity, they were just sunk into the ground. That means that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu does cannot be destroyed. Therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash. If Moshe Rabbeinu builds a Beis HaMikdash, that Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. If the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed, the Jewish people always will have atonement for their sins. Therefore, they can never be exiled again, and they can never be enslaved. According to this, I want to say the following. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi and told him to let the Jewish people go. Automatically, Paroi made the work harder on the Jewish people. And the reason why the work became harder on the Jewish people is in order to complete the time missing for the 400 years. Since the Jewish people were only in Egypt for 210 years, then they had to work hard in order to complete the time of 400 years. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, and Moshe Rabbeinu could not take it. And Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem to stop the harshness of work on the Jewish people. And we know that Retzon Yirei of Yaseh, that the will of those who fear him, Hashem will do. Meaning that when a tzaddik asks something from Hashem, then Hashem will do it. As a consequence, since Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer that the harshness of the work should stop, unfortunately, we did not complete now the 400 years. That means that we are going to need to have another exile to complete that time. And in order to have another exile, we cannot have Moshe Rabbeinu come into Eretz Yisrael. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, then he builds the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. Then there is no exile. So the only way that we could have another exile is if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, since you prayed for the harshness of the work to stop from the Jewish people, then atosire, then only now you'll see, you'll be able to see only now what I will do. Meaning, you could only see what I'll do to Paroi, but you won't be able to see what I will do to the seventh king of Eretz Yisrael. Because since you prayed that the harshness of the work should stop, automatically by your prayer, the exile has to happen again, because they could not complete the 400 years of exile. If the exile has to happen again, then you cannot come into Israel. So therefore Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Atosire, now you will see what I will do to Paroi, and you won't see what I will do to the seven kings of Israel. Because I can't let you now come into Eretz Yisrael, because if you come into Eretz Yisrael, you build the Beis HaMikdash. If you build the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. If the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed, the Jewish people cannot be exiled, and we have to complete the time of 400 years. So therefore, I have no choice. I cannot let you come into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Shem Avram says the connection why Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael is based on the Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Yud Omed Beis. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Bar Machasya, Omar Rav Chama Bar Gori, Omar Rav. Le'olam al yeshad odom bnoi ben abanim. A person should never change one child from other children. Shabishvil mishkal shnei sloim milas Shenasa Yaakov LeYosef Yoisem Mishar Banav, that because of two sloim worth of fine wool that Yaakov gave to Yosef more than his brothers, meaning that Yaakov gave to Yosef the Ksoines Pasim, which according to this was only the worth of two sloim. Because of that, Niskanu Boy Echov, his brothers, became jealous. When his Galgala Davar and the matter evolved and progressed, the Yordu Avoyisenu Lemitzrayim and our forefathers went down to Egypt. Meaning that the Gemara is saying that the reason we're now to Egypt is because of the jealousy that the brothers had. The brothers became jealous because Yaakov Avinu showed favoritism to Yosef over one of the brothers. Therefore, the Gemara says that a person should not show favoritism between his children. Tosfos asks a question. We know that the exile in Egypt was already decreed in Gezeras Bein Absarim, in the covenant between the parts, as we mentioned earlier, that Hashem already told Avraham Avinu that strangers will be your children in a land that's not theirs. They'll be afflicted and enslaved for 400 years. Then how can the Gemara say that had the brothers not been jealous of Yosef, then we would not go to Egypt? We would have gone to Egypt anyways because of the covenant between the parts, because of the promise that Hashem told Avraham Avinu. Tosfos answers, V'shema lo'ayu nigzer aleihem inu kol kach. It could be that had the brothers not been jealous and not sold Yosef, then there wouldn't be decreed that they should work so harshly, that the affliction should be so tough, that would not be decreed. Meaning that the reason why we had this affliction is because the brothers sinned by selling Yosef, and the affliction served as an atonement. The brothers were upset at Yosef because Yosef brought dibasom ra, their evil reports, to their father. And Mefarshim asked, how is it possible that Yosef is speaking lashon hara, is speaking evil reports on their brothers? Therefore, Mefarshim explained that Yosef and the brothers had a halachic argument. If the Jewish people before the Torah was given have the category of a ben Noach, of a Noachite, because since the Torah was not given, they cannot be in the category of Jews, or once they became Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, then they have the category of Bnei Israel and they have to keep all the laws of a Jew. This difference, according to Rashi, according to Mefarshim, was specially noted in the idea of Evre Min Achai, of eating a limb of a live animal. Meaning, the Torah prohibits you from eating a limb that's detached from a live animal and eating it even after the animal dies. And the question is, when is the animal considered dead? According to Jewish law, once you do shechita, ritual slaughtering, shechita is already killing the animal, then even though the animal is debating itself, didn't cease of movement, then it's technically already considered dead, and you don't have the prohibition of Eivre Min Achai if you remove pieces of it and then eat it later after it dies. And according to Noahide law, since Noahide law does not believe in Shechita, then death is considered only when all movements of the animal are ceased. Meaning that after the animal is slaughtered and it completely stops moving, only then it is not considered anymore Eivre Min Achai, a limb of a living animal. And Mefarshim explained that Yosef saw the brothers slaughtering the animal and cutting off pieces of the animal and eating those pieces later. Therefore, Yosef believed that they are transgressing the prohibition of Eivre Min Achai, because Yosef believed that they have a law of Ben Noach, of Noahite, since the Torah was not given, and since the movement of the animal has not ceased, then they transgressed the prohibition of eating a limb of a living animal. Therefore, Yosef went and told the father what they were doing, but the brothers themselves felt that they have the law of a Jew, and if they have the law of a Jew, once they slaughter the animal, even if the movement of the animal has not ceased, they are already allowed to take a piece of the animal and eat it, because it's not considered anymore a live animal, it's considered dead. As an aside, Mefarshim explained that these opinions that the brothers and Yosef had were a little biased, because they had their own self-interest in heart, meaning that the brothers understood that Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah, and automatically the brothers understood that Yaakov would love the children of Rachel more than any other children. Therefore, the brothers were trying to delegitimize the children of Rachel, meaning that since the Torah prohibits a person from marrying the wife's sister, and technically Leah was the first wife of Yaakov and Rachel became the wife's sister, that means that any relations with Rachel is prohibited. That means the children that come out of Rachel are technically not legitimate. But that is only if we follow the Jewish law, because only the Torah prohibits you from marrying your wife's sister. A ben Noach, a Noachite, could marry the wife's sister. Therefore, the brothers held that they have the law of a Jew. Like that, Yosef won't be legitimate. And Yosef held that he has the law of ben Noach, therefore he was legitimate. But going back to our topic, Dor HaChaim HaKodesh explains that one of the reasons why the brothers thought that they have the right to kill Yosef is because they thought that Yosef has the law of Eid Zomam, of a witness that is testifying falsely. Meaning, since Yosef was bringing the evil reports of the brothers to their father, to Yaakov, and he was saying to Yaakov that the brothers are eating a limb of a living animal, Evim Nachai, and according to the brothers, that was a false claim, because the brothers believed that they are in the right for doing what they were doing, and they were not eating a limb of a living animal. Therefore, they believed that Yosef is testifying falsely. He has the category of Eid Zomam. Therefore, they believe that they have the right to kill Yosef. Or some other Mefarshim explain that the brothers believe that since Yosef keeps bringing evil reports of the brothers to Yaakov, then Yaakov will finally decide to ostracize the brothers or curse the brothers and kick them out from being part of the Jewish people. That means their soul is going to be killed. Therefore, they decided that Yosef is a rodev. Yosef is somebody who is trying to kill them. Therefore, we have a rule that if somebody is trying to kill you, you have the right of self-defense, of killing him first. Therefore, the brothers decided that they could kill Yosef before Yosef causes their demise. But in both opinions, the brothers are only right if Yosef's reports are false, if Yosef is not telling the truth. But if in fact Yosef is telling the truth, then the brothers sinned by selling him or by trying to kill him. Therefore, the brothers require to have atonement. But if the brothers are right, then the brothers do not require atonement. Which means that if we hold that before a Torah is given, we have the law of Ben Noach, then Yosef is right, then the brothers were wrong and they required to have atonement. But if we hold that before the Torah was given, we have the law of Israel, then the brothers are right and they do not require atonement. Sefer Megala Mikas brings down that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into Eretz Israel is because Moshe Rabbeinu comes from a Bia Asura, from a prohibited relations, meaning that since Moshe Rabbeinu's father Amram married his aunt Yocheved and they had Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah prohibits a person from marrying his aunt, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu comes from Bia Asura, from an illegal relationship. Moshe Rabbeinu had the category of a king, and to be a king in Israel you have to have a clean lineage. So since Moshe Rabbeinu did not have this clean lineage, the Megala Mukas explains that Moshe Rabbeinu could not come in to Eretz Israel. This argument of Megala Mukas only works if I hold that before the Torah was given, the Jewish people had the category of a Jew. Therefore, the Jewish people had to keep the Torah. Therefore, since the Jewish people had to keep the Torah and Amram transgressed this by marrying Yocheved his aunt, then Moshe Rabbeinu comes from a Bia Asura, from our legal relations. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot come into Eretz Israel. But if I hold that before the Torah was given, the Jewish people have the law of Ben Noach, then the relations between Amram and Yocheved, his aunt, is not prohibited. Moshe Rabbeinu does not come from a prohibited relations. Therefore, there is no reason for Moshe Rabbeinu not to come into Eretz Yisrael. According to all this, Sefer Shem Avram explains the following. As we mentioned previously, Tosfos says that the koshi hashibut, that the harshness of the work, came because we needed atonement for the sin of Yosef. That is only true if we hold that before the Torah was given, we have the category of abandoned Noah. We are not required to maintain the Torah. That since we have the category of Ben Noach, the brothers did something wrong, therefore we have to suffer the harshness of the work to atone for the sin of selling Yosef. But if I hold that we have a Din Israel, then theoretically the brothers didn't do anything wrong, then it should not be harsh labor, harsh work on the brothers. Therefore he explains the following. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the harsh labor of the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu complained to Hashem, why have you done evil to these people? That means that Moshe Rabbeinu, by saying these words, that they don't deserve the harsh work, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu held that the brothers didn't do anything wrong by selling Yosef, and they don't need to have the harsh work to atone for the sin of Yosef. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu holds that they have the category of a Israel, of a Jew. Then if they have the category of a Jew, then there is a problem. Because since they have the category of a Jew, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu himself comes from a prohibited relations. Because then it becomes illegal for Amram having relations with Yocheved. According to this, Sefer Shema Avram explains, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that now that you are complaining that the Jewish people should not have such harsh labor because they don't deserve the harshness of the crime because they did not sin in the sale of Yosef, therefore they don't need atonement, that means that you hold you have a Din Israel. If so, then Atosira, then you could only see what I'm going to do to Paroi, and you won't be able to see what I do to the 31 kings of Eretz Israel, because since you yourself are decreeing that you have the category of a Jew, then comes out that your father Amram transgressed by having relations with Yocheved, then you technically come from a Bia Asura, from a prohibited relations, then therefore you cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. So according to Sefer Shema Avram, Moshe Rabbeinu himself passed his own decree, meaning that the fact that he complained about the harsh labor of the Jewish people, that means that he believed that the Jewish people don't need to work so hard, that they don't need to atone for the sale of Yosef. If that is true, that means that he believed that the brothers were in the right, that they have the law of Israel. If they have the law of Israel, then automatically you cannot come into Israel because you come from a prohibited relations and a king in Eretz Yisrael has to be from pure lineage. Mefarshim ask a question on the Gemara, how can the Gemara say that when Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, Lama Hari Oisa Lama Zeh, why have you done evil to this nation? Lama Zeh Shelachtani, why have you sent me? And Hashem became angry, and at that point Hashem decreed that Moshe Rabbeinu will only see the redemption from Egypt, but he won't see the redemption of the 31 kings, meaning that it was decreed at this point that Moshe Rabbeinu won't come into Eretz Israel, when clearly the Pasuk in Parshas Chukas in Bamidbar chapter 20 verse number 12, there the Torah clearly says that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu won't come into Eretz Israel is because he sinned in the sin of Mei Meriva, on the waters of strife. When the Jewish people did not have any water, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the rock and the rock will give its waters, but instead Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. And because of that, the Torah writes down that Hashem vowed that Moshe Rabbeinu won't come into Eretz Israel. Then how can the Gemara say that it says, Atosira, now you will see, and you won't see the conquering of the 31 kings of the seven nations of Eretz Israel, when clearly the Torah says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Eretz Israel is because he didn't sanctify Hashem's name in the waters of strife. The Mizrahi brings a simple answer. The Mizrahi says that there is no contradiction between here and Parshas Chukas, because from what is written here, I would have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu won't see the redemption that Hashem makes against the seven kings of Eretz Yisrael. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu could still come into the land of Israel, but when it comes to the war, then Moshe Rabbeinu won't see the war, meaning that he will die before any war against the kings, because he won't be able to see the redemption that Hashem is going to make against the kings of Israel. But nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu could come into Eretz Yisrael. But after Moshe Rabbeinu sinned at Meimeriva, there it was agreed that Moshe Rabbeinu won't even come into Eretz Yisrael. So according to the Mizrahi, there is two separate decrees. Here it was agreed that Moshe Rabbeinu won't see any victory of the Jewish people over the kings of Eretz Yisrael, meaning over 31 kings. But Moshe Rabbeinu could still come into Eretz Yisrael. But after Moshe Rabbeinu sinned at the waters of strife, there Hashem decreed that Moshe Rabbeinu won't even come into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Nechmat Benoim gives a different interpretation, and he explains that when Hashem decreed that Moshe Rabbeinu should not come into Eretz Yisrael by saying, Ato Sira, now you will see, but you won't see what I'm going to do to the kings of Eretz Yisrael, it was a decree given by Hashem without swearing, meaning Hashem did not swear that he is going to follow this decree, meaning that Hashem leaves it up to Moshe Rabbeinu, that if Moshe Rabbeinu will repent, then Hashem will abolish the decree. As a matter of fact, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu repented, because the Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Chof Gimel explains that Moshe Rabbeinu said in front of Hashem, I know that I sinned by using the word us, because in verse number 23 it's written, in me'az basil paroi, since I came to paroi, then paroi has done evil to this nation, and I know that I was harsh and I spoke bad by using the word us, therefore, as an atonement to try to appease my sin, I am praising you by saying the word us. By the Shira, Moshe Rabbeinu starts the Shira, by us, Yashir Moshe, then Moshe Rabbeinu is going to sing. So we see that since Moshe Rabbeinu at that point repented against what he did, therefore Hashem in a way abolished that decree. But once Moshe Rabbeinu did a second crime, then he became a repeat offender, and because he became a repeat offender, then Hashem did not give him a chance to repent anymore, and Hashem swore that Moshe Rabbeinu won't come into Eretz Yisrael. So according to him, there is two different steps. The first step here, Hashem doesn't really give a complete decree against Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an induced decree against Moshe Rabbeinu. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would repent, then Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, would be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. But once Moshe Rabbeinu became a repeat offender and he sinned at the sin of Meimeriva, then Hashem swore that Moshe Rabbeinu won't come into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Maskil Ledavid explains that this, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, is what happens to us every year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Meaning that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem always passes our sentence either for good or for bad. Then Hashem waits until Yom Kippur, and when it comes the time of Ne'ilah, then it's signed our decree. But still, even though our decree is signed, there's only one seal on this decree, and you are still able to overcome this decree if you actually truly repent. And the Zohar explains that that seal is there until Shmini Atzeres, and at Shmini Atzeres, then we have the final seal of what's going to happen this year. He explains the same thing happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was already being judged from the time that he said in Shemos chapter 4, verse number 13, Shlachno Beyat Shtishlach, send through whomever you'll send, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go to Egypt to redeem the Jewish people. And Rashi brings the second opinion that Moshe Rabbeinu said, since I'm not coming into Eretz Yisrael anyways, why bother having me take the Jewish people out of Egypt? Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu already knew that he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lama Arioiso Lama Zeh, now that decree actually became sealed, that after Moshe Rabbeinu complained against Hashem, that decree became sealed. But still, there is only one seal on that decree. But as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu sinned at Meimeriva, at the waters of strife, then it became a choysem betach choysem, one seal inside another seal, and that decree became final. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu still had the chance to overcome that first decree had Moshe Rabbeinu not sinned again. But once Moshe Rabbeinu sinned again, then it became a double seal, and once there's a double seal, it's almost impossible to overcome. Therefore, at Meimeriva, it was decreed that Moshe Rabbeinu will not come into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Horeb Besomim from Daruga Saboism explains that each case independently would still allow Moshe Rabbeinu to come into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that if you had the case here where Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Lama Rioiso, Lama Zeh, Moshe Rabbeinu would still be able to come into Eretz Yisrael, even though Hashem decreed that he shouldn't come into Eretz Yisrael. And had you had the other situation in Meimeriva, Moshe Rabbeinu would also be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. And he explains that in each of these cases, I could defend Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, here in our situation, I could defend Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was harsh against Hashem, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to defend the Jewish people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke harshly against Hashem. True that it is not proper to speak that way in front of Hashem, but nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu's heart was pure because he wanted to protect and defend the Jewish people. And the Daruga Saboism continues and says that if I only had the case of Meimeriva of the Waters of Strife, according to the Evan Ezra, who quotes in the name of Acherim, the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu there was that he called the Jewish people Amorim, listen, O rebel ones. And it's not proper to call the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov in the language rebel ones. Therefore, he was punished. But if it would be just the case there, I could say that the reason why he called them rebels is because they rebelled against Hashem and he was taking up the honor of Hashem. But when you put both cases together, then Moshe Rabbeinu definitely deserves a punishment. Because here, Moshe Rabbeinu is going against Hashem because he wants to protect the Jewish people. And there he's going against the Jewish people because he wants to protect Hashem. So they contradict each other. And in both cases together, comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong. So he explains that the decree really came from both together, because each independently would cause Moshe Rabbeinu to have an excuse and be able to defend himself why he did it. But since we have both cases together, one case here where he goes bad against Hashem and defends the Jewish people, and the case of Meimeriva where he goes bad against the Jewish people and defends Hashem, so together both cases causes Moshe Rabbeinu to be bad and speak harshly against Hashem. Therefore, in the combination of both cases causes Moshe Rabbeinu to be punished that he cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should learn from the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, that we should always accept Hashem's decree with love, and we should never speak bad against another Jew, against a child of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if we do that and show love to one another, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, Bimheiro Bayomeinu, Amen.